Welcome. You're locked in for a deep dive, crafted specifically for you, the law students tuning in. Today, we're tackling a really pivotal Second Circuit case, Goldberg v. Meridor.
That's right.
Think of this as your express route to understanding a decision that sits, well, right at the intersection of federal securities regulation and corporate conduct.
Exactly. Goldberg v. Meridor gives us a really compelling picture of how Rule 10b-5, you know, the cornerstone of securities fraud litigation, can actually apply in the context of corporate self-dealing, especially when minority shareholders might be getting the short end of the stick.
Okay, let's unpack the situation then. At its core, the case involves a shareholder derivative suit. It was brought by David Goldberg, a minority shareholder in a company called Universal Gas and Oil, or UGO.
Mm-hmm.
Now, UGO engaged in this transaction with its parent company, Maritime Corp. Basically, UGO issued a huge chunk of its stock, 4.2 million shares, to Maritime Corp.
So in return, they got Maritime Corp's assets and liabilities. And Goldberg's whole argument was that this exchange was, well, completely one-sided. He contended that Maritime Corp was basically using UGO as a dumping ground.
Dumping ground? How so?
Well, offloading assets, he claimed, were overvalued, and saddling UGO with substantial liabilities. The implication was clear. Drain UGO's resources to benefit the parent company.
And critically, he pointed to press releases, right? Saying they painted a much rosier picture than reality.
Exactly. Made the deal sound great when, according to Goldberg, it was anything but.
So he filed suit. Alleged violations of federal securities law, Rule 10b-5, specifically, and also state law claims, like breach of fiduciary duty.
But, and this is key, the district court initially threw out his federal securities claim.
Yeah, dismissed it. And that's where the Second Circuit steps in and why this case is so important for your studies. We're going to really dissect the appellate court's reasoning, explore the implications.
Our mission today, really, is to understand why the Second Circuit reversed that dismissal. What does Goldberg mean for navigating that tricky line between securities law and corporate governance?
Precisely. Let's start with maybe the most fundamental question. How did Goldberg even manage to bring a federal securities fraud claim here? Usually mismanagement, breach of fiduciary duty, that's state law territory, right?
So what was the hook for federal jurisdiction?
Well, it really boils down to one crucial element. Deception.
Deception.
Yeah. The Second Circuit leaned heavily on an earlier big case, Schoenbaum v. Firstbrook. They basically said that deception in the securities context isn't just about lying directly to shareholders buying or selling.
Uh-huh.
Even a parent company manipulating its subsidiary, especially one with publicly traded stock, in a way that benefits the parent at the expense of the subsidiary and its minority shareholders, that could be deception under 10b-5.
And this idea wasn't totally out of the blue, was it? Schoenbaum had already kind of paved the way.
Exactly. Schoenbaum recognized that you could have corporate deception even without, you know, specific misrepresentations to individual investors during a purchase or sale.
What's fascinating here, I think, is this idea of the corporation itself being deceived.
Yeah.
Even if UGO's directors knew all the details of the deal.
Yeah.
The court didn't just automatically say, okay, directors knew, so the corporation knew. No deception. Judge Friendly famously said, a corporation may be defrauded by its own directors.
Right. So think of it this way. Even if the guys at the top knew the deal stank for UGO,
mm-hmm.
If the full, fair implications weren't disclosed to the minority shareholders, the people with a real stake, that information gap, that asymmetry, that can be the deception.
Okay, let's dig into that a bit more. So the insiders might know it's a bad deal, but the fact that the true nature, the potential unfairness, wasn't shared transparently.
And maybe even misrepresented in those press releases.
Right, that's where it potentially crosses the line into federal securities law territory.
Exactly. The court's reasoning was, essentially, that failing to give accurate info about a deal that fundamentally changes the value of UGO stock.
Especially when combined with misleading public statements.
It deprived the minority shareholders of the ability to make informed decisions. Even if those decisions were just, say, trying to get an injunction under state law to block the deal.
That's a key point. The deception doesn't have to trick the minority shareholders into buying or selling themselves. It can relate to a corporate transaction that tanks their share value. And the lack of truth stops them from protecting their interests.
Okay. And this leads us right into the second big legal piece here. The district court initially refusing to let Goldberg amend his complaint to include those press releases.
Yeah, what was the Second Circuit's take on that?
They were pretty firm. They said the district court basically messed up, abused its discretion by denying him the chance to update his complaint.
Right. The general rule in federal court is, you know, amendments should be allowed freely when justice requires it.
Especially here, where Goldberg wanted to add facts, the content of those press releases that could actually back up his claim.
So the Second Circuit saw these press releases as potentially holding the key material misstatements or omissions directly related to the allegedly fraudulent deal.
Okay, let's really zero in on why the materiality of these potential misstatements was so critical.
Materiality. It's fundamental to any 10b-5 claim. The standard comes from TSC Industries v. Northway. Basically, is there a substantial likelihood that a reasonable shareholder would think the omitted or misrepresented fact is significant when deciding what to do?
So not just interesting, but actually important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Goldberg, the court figured, look, if those press releases had been honest about Maritime Accor's financial state, the assets, the liabilities, the potential hit to Yujigo.
Maybe a reasonable director votes no.
Or maybe the minority shareholders see that and say, whoa, let's sue under state law to stop this thing.
Got it. So materiality is like the threshold of importance. Would this info have actually mattered to someone making decisions about the company?
Precisely. So it wasn't just about whether shareholders got to vote on this specific deal. They didn't, it seems. It was more about whether truthful information would have significantly changed the total mix of information available to those with a stake in Yugo.
Exactly. The court recognized that even without a direct shareholder vote, accurate disclosure could have, you know, helped the directors do their fiduciary duty better.
Or it could have given the minority shareholders the ammo they needed to seek state law remedies, like that injunction we mentioned, to protect their investment.
It really underscores that materiality isn't just about info for buying or selling stock. It's broader. It's about info important for shareholders making decisions about their rights regarding the company.
Definitely. Now, for a complete picture, we have to talk about the dissent. Judge Miskell.
Ah, yes. He agreed Goldberg should have been allowed to amend the complaint, but he had some serious issues with the majority's main reasoning on the federal claims.
What was his big concern?
His core argument was that the majority was stretching materiality too thin. He felt they were pushing federal securities law into areas usually handled by state corporate law. He didn't think Goldberg had really shown how full disclosure would have realistically changed what shareholders did, which for Miskell was key to materiality.
Okay.
And he worried that using 10b-5 this way blurred the lines, the line between actual securities fraud, which needs deception, and just, you know, a breach of fiduciary duty, which state law usually covers.
He was concerned about federalizing state corporate law, essentially.
That seems to be the crux of it. He worried this could open the floodgates, turning every unfair deal claim into a federal case just by alleging incomplete disclosure.
So his point was, if state law already gives shareholders ways to challenge these deals, like seeking an injunction,
then federal securities law shouldn't jump in unless there's really clear deception directly tied to a securities transaction.
Right. It really highlights that ongoing tension, that balancing act between state and federal roles and overseeing corporations. It's still debated today.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. For you listening, the law student, what are the three absolute key takeaways from Goldberg v. Meridor you need to lock down?
Okay, first, Rule 10b-5's reach goes beyond just simple buy-sell transactions. It can hit what courts sometimes call corporate looting or self-dealing if there's deception involved that hurts minority shareholders.
And that builds on Schoenbaum, right? Even without a shareholder vote on the bad deal itself, deception connected to a securities transaction can trigger federal liability.
Exactly. The deception doesn't have to be to the minority shareholder buying or selling.
Okay. Takeaway number two.
Materiality. Remember, it's judged on whether the hidden facts would have significantly altered the total mix of information for a reasonable director or shareholder.
Could it have realistically influenced their decisions, like seeking state law remedies? That's the TSC Industries standard in action here.
Precisely. And takeaway number three.
Procedural fairness matters. Courts usually let plaintiffs amend complaints to add new evidence, like those press releases in Goldberg.
Right. It ensures plaintiffs get a fair shot to present their full case, especially when key facts might only surface later, like during discovery. It allows for a more thorough review by the court.
Okay. Now, thinking ahead, as you move into your legal career, really grasp the distinction Goldberg highlights. It's nuanced but critical.
What distinction is that?
The difference between a simple breach of fiduciary duty, usually state law, and securities fraud under Rule 10b-5, which needs that element of deception tied to a securities transaction.
That's crucial. Just because a deal looks unfair doesn't automatically make it federal securities fraud.
Yeah.
You need to find the lie, the omission, the lack of transparency.
That connects back to a corporate securities transaction and demonstrably harmed minority shareholders.
Exactly.
So, final thought for you to chew on. Think about Goldberg's practical impact today. How might minority shareholders use 10b-5 now to fight potentially unfair insider deals?
And conversely, what's the role of transparent, honest disclosure in preventing these lawsuits in the first place?
Yeah. Reflect on that ongoing debate. Where should the line be drawn between federal intervention and state corporate governance? It's complex, it's dynamic, and Goldberg. It's still a foundational piece of that whole puzzle.